And now, if you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 3. Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. May I remind you again, while you're turning in your places in the Scripture, that it is your opportunity to be in the services of worship again tonight. The training program at 6 o'clock, our evening worship hour at 7. I trust that you'll be faithful, because this is very important for your spiritual health during the month of June. Luke chapter 3, I shall begin reading at verse 1 after we bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee now these moments that we have before us to worship Thee. As our worship service has already begun, may we so continue with absolute dependence upon Thee. We pray today that as the Scriptures are read, the Holy Spirit would speak to us and through us, that our hearts and minds might be open, that we might enjoy spiritual health in these days, and that what is done in the month of June would continue through the summer and into the fall and through this year and forever how long that thou dost have for us to live. Keep us alert this morning. Keep us awake. May our hearts yearn after and long for the truth that comes only from thy word, as we pray and ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. With thanksgiving, amen. In these days now of spiritual health, during the month of June, in the Sunday morning worship services, I will be dealing with that theme, spiritual health, the prescription for spiritual health, and number one will be the Bible or the Word of God. Verse 1 of Luke chapter 3. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." 400 years is a long time. It was about 400 years between the closing of the Old Testament and the opening of the new. These 400 years are commonly called the silent centuries, by reason of the fact that during these 400 years, there was no word, no revelation, no prophetic voice. The condition of Israel was truly a pitiful one. They were existing only and under the yoke of a foreign power. They were steeped and enslaved in religious ritual, much like the world is today. Whether we realize it or not, these are the most religious times that we've ever lived in. And yet, church membership the world over is on the decline. These are days of apostasy. Why, even people who know the truth are not obeying the truth. Why, would you believe that we've even got a few members of Worth Baptist who ignore the Sunday night services? I mean, right here. Some of you here this morning. And will ignore the prayer meeting and ignore the visitation arm of the church. That's sort of a falling away, isn't it? Some of you remember when the Word of God first came to you. Why, man, you could hardly wait to get back on Sunday night to hear another gospel message, to fellowship with God's people. But now that you've grown a little bit in the faith and you're taking for granted that you don't really need it, and you're prosperous and you're happy and you're getting along better than you've ever gotten along before. And that was the warning of our Sunday school lesson this morning. Did you get that warning this morning? Beware lest thou forget the Lord thy God, who brought thee out of the wilderness, who will bring thee into the land of Canaan to possess it. And some of you are just like the Israelites. How soon do we forget the good things that the Lord has done for us? I've just sort of thrown that in. That's not really even cost you anything. But I repeat, we've got a lot of people who will ignore the Lord's day. We've got a lot of people who will do God a favor by coming to church on Sunday morning and then ignore Him the rest of the week. And I don't believe that's right. And I believe you're the one who's missing out, and you're missing the spiritual growth. You're missing the blessings, and you're missing out on the good things that the Lord has for you. No revelation, no word, no prophetic voice for 400 years. But just about the time that the devil thought he had the upper hand, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, who was ruling the world from Rome, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. May I pause long enough to say that whenever the Word of God comes to a nation or to an individual, a new epoch begins in the life of that nation and in the life of that individual. A new chapter is written in the history of mankind when the Word of God comes. Some of the effects of the coming of the Word of God will be pointed out in our message this morning. Wonderful words for a waiting world. The Bible, number one in the prescription for spiritual health in the month of June. Would you recall with me the time when the Word of God came to Abraham in the Ur of the Chaldees? The same word that came to John the Baptist in the first century A.D. came to Abraham 2,000 years before Christ. Abraham was living in the Ur of the Chaldees. Somehow I believe he was kind of satisfied there. Somehow I believe he had his roots down deeply in the life and culture and activities of the Babylonians. But the Word of God came to Abraham in the Ur of the Chaldees and said to him, Abraham, get up and get thee away from thy kindred and out of thy country to a land that I'll show you. I'm going to give you something, Abraham. Isn't that just like God? He's always giving. God said to Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, and out of your loins is going to come one who will bless all the nations of earth. I've got something for you, Abraham, something better than the Ur of the Chaldees. With all of its art and architecture, with all of its books and brains and learning, I've got something better for you, Abraham. Get up and get over to the land that I'm going to show you, and I'm going to make somebody out of you. I don't believe there's ever been anybody who's had anything made out of them that God didn't do it. I don't believe a man has ever had anything that God didn't give him. He gives the sunshine, the air, the food, the clothes, the cars, the homes, all that we have. God has given to us today. The word of the Lord came to Abraham. Do you remember when the word of the Lord came to Moses? He was in sort of an unlikely place on the backside of the desert. Strange where the word of God comes sometimes. We listen and we look for the word of God and for the manifestation of God in cathedrals and churches, and rightly so. But the word of God came to Moses on the backside of the desert. God always has a way of conveying his message. I believe the way in the dispensation of grace is through the preaching of God's word. But in the day of Moses, in the dispensation of the law, God spoke to Moses in a very unusual way. As he was tending his sheep, there was a bush burning. And it did not burn out. It wasn't consumed. And God spoke to Moses out of that burning bush. God said, Moses, take the shoes off of thy feet, for the ground upon which thou standest is holy ground. I believe the church is holy ground. I don't believe that the church is the place for us to catch up on our rest either. I believe that the church is a place of worship. A place when the strings of our hearts are in tune with God. Get off thy shoes, Moses, for this is holy ground. Moses, I've got a job for you to do. You know, God didn't tell Moses to do the same thing that he told Abraham to do. You know, I've heard people say, well, if they had just asked me to do this instead of this, I would have excelled in this. I don't believe a word of it. If you don't do what God wants you to do, you wouldn't do what you want to do if you had an opportunity to do it. God didn't tell Moses the same thing he told Abraham. He said to Moses, my people are in bondage. I need a deliverer. You're the man, Moses. Go down before Pharaoh and say to that wicked, vile Egyptian king, let my people go. And Moses came, and Moses was the great deliverer of Israel. All because the word of God came to Moses on the backside of the desert. And I could go on this morning. The word of God came to the prophets, to Amos, to Hosea, to Isaiah, to Jeremiah, to Ezekiel, to all of the list of the prophets. And you know what? God told them all a particular and specific job for them to do. God didn't want Isaiah to do what he had Jeremiah to do. God didn't want Daniel to do the job that he had for Ezekiel to do. But they were all working for the same thing. And basically the message that each of these prophets preached was the same word that came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. And John came out of the wilderness preaching repentance. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The word of the Lord came. You know, the word of God comes to some faithful soul in every age. Back in the age of religious darkness, the word came to a man by the name of Martin Luther. The Church of Rome said, salvation is in our church, and the Pope is the vicar of Christ. And his word is ultimate and final, and outside the Roman church and the Roman doctrine, there is no salvation. And Martin Luther wouldn't buy that line. Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses upon the door, and they held him before the high tribunal in the religious courts of Rome. And the results were, Martin Luther, you recant, you take back what you've said, or else you'll be excommunicated from the Catholic Church. And Martin Luther said, I will not recant. Here I stand. God have mercy on me if I do otherwise. The word of God came to Martin Luther as he was climbing the stairs to kiss the toe of the Pope. The word of God came to him out of Habakkuk and out of the New Testament. The just shall live by faith. And I'm glad that word came to him that day. And I'm glad that we can preach the same message this morning, that salvation is not in the Roman church, that salvation is not in the Baptist church, that salvation is not in the Methodist church, but salvation is in Christ and Him alone. There's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Let us do away with the ritual. Let us do away with custom. Let us do away with the man-made doctrines and the man-made churches and come back to the way of Calvary and back to the cross and back to God and back to the blood atonement. That's the only thing that'll save a world like ours today. I'm glad the word of God came to Martin Luther. In an age of persecution, the word of God came to faithful souls. In the reign of Bloody Mary in the 16th century, when true believers were being persecuted by the Roman powers, there were three men in particular to whom the word of God came. Early church fathers, their names are Cranmer, Ridley, and Latimer. Oh, I wish that if you don't have a copy of Fox's Book of Martyrs that you'd get it. Somebody said, well, I wouldn't say anything about the Romish powers. You don't know what they've done to your forefathers. You don't know how many of them have been burned at a stake. You don't know how many of them have been thrown to wild beasts to be devoured. I'll say that in the Roman church there's no salvation this morning. And I don't believe that the Pope is any more vicar of Christ than I'm the vicar of Christ. I don't believe there's any pardon or forgiveness beyond the booth in the priest's office either. I believe there is one mediator and one God and one Christ and one Savior and one high priest who has passed into the heavens. Amen. Even Jesus the righteous. It was the Roman powers that carried these three men yonder to burn them at the stake. And as the flames engulfed their bodies, Latimer looked at old Ridley and he said, Dr. Ridley, cheer up! These flames that burn that sacred beard of yours will light a fire that shall never go out. And that fire is still burning today. They said to these men, will you recant? Will you deny that you believe that Christ is the only way? And that will you affirm that the Roman church is the way? Here's what they said in unison. Burn we may, deny Christ never. And they burn. And the fires are still burning today. And we have our religious liberties and our religious freedoms that we so often abuse. Because there were some men to whom the word of God came in yesteryear. You'll take it lightly, your opportunity to serve God this week, but remember, somebody paid for it with their own blood. The word of God came. The word of God came. I would to God this morning that we had another Moses. I would to God that we had another John the Baptist. I would to God we had another Jeremiah. Or Ezekiel, or Isaiah. I would to God we had another Martin Luther. I would to God we had another Cranmer and Ridley and Latimer. I would to God that we had some men like the men of old to whom the word of God came. Cheer up. It is my prayer that out of this very congregation that the word of God will come to some young man, to some young woman, who will let the world know that there's a better way of living than living for Satan. I'm praying that out of this congregation, God will raise up somebody. I don't know. It may be a baby. It may be somebody in the primaries, a kindergarten, a toddlers, or young people's, or juniors, or somewhere. I'm praying that God will raise up someone out of this church to be a flaming evangel for Christ around the world. I believe God's going to answer that prayer. The word of God came. Would you think with me for just a moment on this? Somehow I feel in the 20th century, in 1967, in the month of June, right now, that the word of God comes to us. I think the word of God reminds us how it used to be. You remember how it used to be in your life? You got a joy out of teaching a little group of boys or girls. You got a joy out of serving God. It was a real challenge to you to get up on Sunday morning, get the family ready and get off to Sunday school and have a part actively in the Sunday school. It was a joy to you to hear the Word of God preached. It was a joy for you to have a part in the services. It was a joy for you to visit and knock on doors and witness for Christ. The Word of God comes this morning to remind you of that. The Word of God comes this morning, I believe, calling us to a higher spiritual plane. To my class this morning, I said, so many of us are living defeated lives when we ought to be living lives of victory. The Word of God, I say again, comes to call us to that higher spiritual plane, to forsake the things of the world, to forsake the things of time and adorn ourselves with the things of eternity. The Word of God comes this morning and brings these thoughts to us. I believe not only so, but the Word of God calls us to sincere dedication. There's so much half-hearted serving God. We have altogether too many Christians of convenience. If everything is convenient, if there's no other place to go, if there's nothing else to do, they might be in church. They might be at visitation. They might be at prayer meeting. They might serve the Lord. If there's no other place to spend their money, they might give their money to God. Christians of convenience. Somehow I believe that in this year and in this month and in this day, the Word of God is coming and calling us to a sincere, wholehearted dedication. I believe the Word of God is calling us to discover the joys of spiritual health. Some of us are so spiritually anemic, you couldn't even find a blood count spiritually in some, or a pulse. So weak. Things of the world have come in and have cooled the flames of devotion, and have cooled the flames of dedication, and have cooled the flames of evangelism until we're almost spiritually breathless. I believe the Word of God comes this morning to call us to rediscover the joys of spiritual health and happiness and victory that is ours in Christ Jesus. That's what I feel this morning. And I feel something more. I feel somehow today that the world outside, the world at large, is still waiting for the Word of God to come. I believe this morning that there are countless troubled hearts who are waiting for a word of comfort. There are indeed many in the darkness of sin who are waiting for a word of guidance. There are multiplied thousands of hopeless souls around the world this morning who are waiting a word of hope. There are this morning many hundreds of thousands who are in the clutches of sin and death. And they are waiting from the Word of God for a word of life. Somehow I feel that America needs something today. We don't really realize perhaps the seriousness of the Middle East conflict today. Are we fully aware of the fact that we are right on the brink of war? And I'm not trying to frighten you. God knows if you haven't already been frightened, you won't be. But I'm pointing all of this out to say one thing, that I believe in my own heart that the Middle East crisis of 1967 is the beginning of the end of all things, and that the stage is now being set when all the armies of the earth shall be gathered against Jerusalem, and Jesus Christ with his revelation glory is going to destroy them by the sword out of his mouth. I believe that's prophecy, and I believe that's the truth this morning. And I believe that God is calling America to her knees. I don't know how America's going to get there. God's tried every way. God has tried the way of prosperity, and that hasn't worked. We've never had as much as we have this morning. We have only 6% of the world's population. You know that, don't you? And over 50% of all the world's wealth to be enjoyed by just 6% of the world's population. Prosperity hasn't brought America to her knees. Prosperity hasn't brought us back to Bethel. Prosperity hasn't brought us back to the cross. Prosperity hasn't even brought us back to the church. Increase in wages and salary and goods, these things haven't brought us back. I ask you this morning, what will it take to bring America to her knees? Will it take the flare-up of war? I'll tell you what. You remember 1941, December the 7th? How could you forget? I'll tell you, if one of our ships were to be sunk in the Mediterranean Sea this afternoon, we wouldn't have room for the people around this altar tonight. If one of our ships were to go down in the Mediterranean this afternoon, and war would be declared, and surely it would be. We're in a war now that hasn't been declared, but it's a war just the same. But if our ships were to go down in the Mediterranean this afternoon, some of you would be in church tonight who otherwise wouldn't have been here. Now let me ask you, is it going to take war to bring you to the place you ought to be, Daddy and Mother? Is it going to take war to bring your children and your family into the house of God? I don't know what it's going to take. It might take that. If the stock markets fall in the morning, on the other hand, certainly they wouldn't fall if we went into war, and I know that and you know that. But if the stock markets would fall in the morning and the bread lines would form on Tuesday, we'd be in prayer meeting on Wednesday. But we don't need God. Our ship's all right. We've got atomic power. We've got hydrogen bombs. We've got clothes in the closet. We've got food in the cupboard. But let something happen to this and we'll be on our knees. Somehow I pray that we'll get on our knees before we are driven to our knees. America needs revival. America needs to come back to Bethel and back to the God of the Bible and back to worship and back to the cross. In days like these, we need the Word of God. There was a sign on the old Oregon Trail opening up frontiers to the new Western countries that read like this: go this way and you're sure to get there. And that reminds me of another sign. It's out on the Calvary Trail this morning. It opens up a new way of life, not only for time but for eternity. It's in the form of a cross. The Son of God dying on that cross. And this sign says to the world, come this way, and you'll get there. And I want to tell you this morning, if you don't come that way, you can't get there. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. December the 7th, 1941. The bombs were dropped. Hundreds of men lost their lives. One of them was a young man out of a Christian home who was wounded on the day of Pearl Harbor and who died just a few days after. A chaplain visiting the hospital there on the base left with him a New Testament one day, the Word of God, the Bible. And when the chaplain had made his rounds back about the second or third day, this wounded, mortally wounded soldier had been reading from the pages of the New Testament. The Word of God came to him on his deathbed. And when the chaplain was ready to leave, he said to him, sir, I know that I'm not long for this world. I know that I'm mortally wounded. I'll never get up. I won't live. But sir, when I left home, my mother put arms around me. She said, "Son, we never know what's going to happen. And if you go off and never return, I want you to promise me, son. And I want the assurance, son, that I'll meet you up yonder in glory." He said, "Chaplain, I walked out of my mother's arms and her heart was breaking. And I said to her, 'Mother, you know that I'm not a Christian. I'm going off to war. I'm a man now. I can take care of myself.'" But he said, "Chaplain, when they send word that I'm gone, I want you to write my mother a letter. And I want you to tell my mother that while I was on my deathbed, the word of God came to me. And I read it. And I believed it. And I'm saved. And tell mother, I'll meet her up yonder." Let us stand for our prayer. The way of the cross leads home. There's no other way but this. I shall never get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. I wonder this morning, have you found that way? Surely most of you have, because you're church members. You belong here or somewhere. But I wonder if there might be, while our heads are bowed, I wonder if there might be just one, and you'd say, "Pastor, I'm lost. I'm unsaved. Pray for me." Put your hand up right now, will you? That's all I ask you to do. Just slip your hand up and say, "Pray for me." Anybody like that? No? Everybody's saved. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but if things don't change, there are going to be some other boys marching off to war. There are going to be some more broken-hearted mothers. And they grow up so fast, don't they? And times are so pressing, aren't they? And the world is dark outside. And the conflict rages on. But I'm glad there can be peace in our hearts this morning. And I know you might wonder why your pastor will holler and scream, get upset. But if you could stand here just one Sunday, if you could see the indifference on the part of Christians who know better, neglecting the house of God, neglecting their service, neglecting their giving, neglecting their witnessing, their soul winning, week after week after week, maybe you could shed a few tears too. Maybe you'd feel like hollering and screaming a little bit too. I'm not apologizing, be it far from me. I'm just saying, bear with me. And if somehow you don't like the way the pitcher pitches the game, why don't you pray for him? Maybe he'll pitch better next time. Or the catcher catches the ball. Or the shortstop plays the field. Pray for him, maybe he'll do better next time. I wonder, out of this congregation this morning, if the word of God has not come to hearts, out of the choir, out of the congregation. I wonder if the word of God has not come. And you'd say, "Pastor, I've heard the word of God speak into my heart this morning. And I want to be a better and stronger Christian in the month of June. I want to be healthier than I've been. I want my light to shine for Jesus. And I want the world to know where I stand for Jesus. And I want the church to know where I stand. Somehow I feel in my own heart the need of prayer. And I feel that the word of God has come to me. You want to slip down to this altar for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask this morning that the Holy Spirit would take over. While we sing our hymn of invitation, may thy word come into our hearts, and may we come upon our knees and upon our faces before thee. Should there be lost ones, save them. Should there be those outside the church, bring them in. Should there be those, and surely there must be, who feel thy word working in their hearts and working in their minds this morning, bring them to an altar of prayer as we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake.